Welcome to Island Issues, our weekly public affairs program about Hawaii Island's people, issues, and concerns. Brought to you by Regency at Hualalai, a retirement and assisted living community. Listen Sundays at 6:30 a.m. on KKOA 107.7 FM or at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM. Or to the podcast at lava1053.com or koacountry1077.com. Now here's your host and producer, Sherry Brackett.
Aloha, good Sunday morning. Welcome to Island Issues. Remember that you may hear past Island Issues interviews, including the one we're airing today, as podcasts at lava1053.com and at koacountry1077.com. Click on Island Issues and then on the Island Issues microphone. In the upcoming election, there is one county council race still to be decided, and that's County Council District 7, which I call Central Kona. This morning, we have as our guest the two candidates for the job, Kelly Drysdale. Good morning. Aloha, Kelly.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
And Rebecca Shute Viegas. Good morning, Rebecca.
Aloha. Good morning, Sherry.
Starting with Kelly, she was raised in California, had higher education at Orange Coast College, University of Georgia, and San Diego State University, majoring in radio and TV communications. She worked in sports television for 15 years with various networks and produced and directed the annual Don Drysdale Hall of Fame Golf Classic for 13 years. And she came to Hawaii to work with her parents in managing their restaurants, Don Drysdale's Club 53 and Drysdale's 2. She was also in management at the Mount Ilani Bay Hotel and was a property manager at Associa Hawaii. She's now director of logistics at the Kona Coffee and Tea Company in Kona. Kelly, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Now, as director of logistics for Kona Coffee and Tea, give us a real short description of what you do.
Well, it's a matter of being compliant. We have a lot of different departments in our government that we have to abide by, being the health department, OSHA, Department of Labor, Department of Liquor. So we have to be compliant. And recently, we've had the Department of Health and Sanitation that have implemented new mandates that we have certified food handlers. So that's something else that we've had to deal with in recent. Then, of course, we have entities like BMI, which make sure that you're paying for all of your music and all those types of things. So those are the types of things that I take care of, along with some of the logistics that go along with our association with the Ironman.
There's no requirement under county charter that you only work as a Hawaii County Council member. Do you plan to keep your job at Kona Coffee and Tea if elected?
I would like to keep one foot in the door, yes. I mean, I don't think I would be able to spend as much time, obviously, because my devotion would be to the position if, in fact, elected.
Okay, thank you. Next, we turn to Rebecca Shute Viegas, who was born and raised here on the Big Island and graduated from Kona Waena High. She has a bachelor's in business management from the University of Hawaii at Manoa and a certificate of completion from Ulumau, a Hawaii Island leadership series. She's worked for Hawaii's nonprofit and for-profit organizations for quite a while. She was with Kona Brewing Company for 14 years as their marketing manager and worked especially on their sustainability, event sponsorship, and community partnership programs. She was also president of the Kohana Iki, and I have to tell you, Auntie Elizabeth always told me to say Kohana Iki Ohana. Mm-hmm. She worked with a team of community advocates, as well as county government, state government, and the developer to help create Kohana Iki Beach Park. And she's now self-employed, Bamboo Shoot Productions, with clients including Lani House Shopping Center, Donkey Mill Art Center, and Mana'o Pono Sustainability, among others. Rebecca, what do you actually do with Bamboo Shoot Productions?
Bamboo Shoot Productions, it's my own little company. After leaving the brewery almost 3 years ago, in order to have more time with my family, my daughter recently graduated from high school, and it allowed me to be around and be really available for her last 2 years of high school before going off to college. So Bamboo Shoot Productions is kind of an events company. I help different organizations, nonprofit and for-profit organizations, with a lot of fundraising events. Donkey Mill Art Center hosted Cool Fusion, a festival of 1,000 bowls, and I helped put that event together. And so working with a lot of different groups, I'll be working with Lonnie Howe to plan their 30th anniversary celebration next month. So I am able to utilize my skill set in connectivity and relationships and allocating resources for my different clients to make sure that their events are a success.
If elected to Hawaii County Council, do you plan to keep your business going and work at your business as well?
I may have a couple of clients on the side, but predominantly this would be my full-time job. It's one of the reasons I feel that at this time in my life, running for county council is appropriate, and it feels just really like the right time for me to step into a role of more official public service.
Why do you want to run for Hawaii County Council, Rebecca Villegas?
I was invited to run is part of one of the reasons that I'm running.
By whom?
Some of my mentors, one of them including Karen Ioff, who I worked with since I was a teenager on the project at Kohana Aiki. We have also worked together on a number of different projects. She's been a mentor of mine for years, and I'm also friends and have been in contact and able to work with a number of different people in county government. So when your kapuna tap you on the shoulder, as Kelly can, I'm sure, testify, this is a difficult thing to do, campaigning and asking your community to vote for you and to believe in you and to elect you into a position of public service is very vulnerable. But I have a firm belief that when asked by my kapuna and my mentors, it was time for me to step up and make sure I got my big girl panties on and to be bold and be brave and take the chance and present myself to my community.
Kelly Drysdale, why are you running to serve on Hawaii County Council?
I'm running because I'm passionate about solutions for the adversities that face our community, and actually island-wide for that matter. It seems that some of them are relatively interconnected, such as the homelessness issue and affordable housing. One could be because of the other. And also, we may have read in last week's newspaper, doctor shortages. So I'm advocating, and I've been asked to be on a community advisory committee to work with people to get a medical PA school here and dormitories, and so that we can have more physician assistants, because we're running out of doctors. They're leaving and retiring very quickly.
Would this program you're advocating be in collaboration with the existing programs run by John A. Byrne School of Medicine on this island through Hilo Medical Center and North Hawaii?
No, they're run through the University of Washington.
So this would be a completely separate
Correct,
effort.
And it would be no okay. burden to anything or any dollars that come through our community at all.
In the county council, collaboration with other council members will be very important, particularly on issues that you all don't always see eye to eye. And you'll face that same challenge in working with community members, some of whom will have one position, others of whom may have many other positions. So, Kelly Drysdale, starting with you, give me an example of something you've done in your past life that would help us understand your capabilities at working in that kind of environment.
Well, first of all, I believe that if elected, my responsibilities would be to the people in the District 7. And, you know, while I'd advocate for District 7, I'd also advocate for the betterment of the entire island. But I still do serve on a number of boards right now, and we collaboratively create events, places, and solutions to a myriad of ideas. Well, let's face it, I'm somewhat of a jock, and so I played on a lot of teams. I still play on a lot of teams, and there's no I in team. So when you play team sports, it's all about being as one, combining efforts for the best results. So with that said, I can work very well with others to make positive changes and things happen.
Rebecca Villegas, contentious situations will come up with other county council members and members of the community. So give us an example of something that you've done that would help us understand about your capability to work with contentious groups and come to collaborative solutions.
Sure. The first thing that comes to mind is my work with Angel Palago and Karen Ioff. Over the last decades, with the Kohanike Ohana, I've been president of the Kohanike Ohana for the last 6 years. And as president, I have coordinated and led regularly scheduled monthly meetings, working in collaboration with the park partners, with county representatives and the landowners and community representatives. I've participated in civic responsibility since I was a teenager and spoken in front of the county council and at other community meetings. I have a long history, even in my 14 years with the Kona Brewing Company, of working with different for-profit and non-profit organizations here in the community, from the Surfrider Chapter to the Kona Kohala Chamber of Commerce, different rotaries. So I feel that one of my skill sets is in being a conduit to solutions and listening and finding common goals, and then being able to transition the focus from the issues to the potential solutions is something that I find most important, and something that I thrive at doing. And I feel like I could be a conduit and a collaborator and a communicator and a connector for some solutions to many of the issues. While not all of them, I don't have all the answers, but I'd like to be a part of, and I feel that in my prior life, as you said, I have been able to be a part of being a conduit of finding solutions to many of the issues that we face here.
One of the biggest issues in District 7, not to discount its importance elsewhere on the island, particularly in Gila, but one of the biggest issues for District 7 that you all have mentioned previously and people mention all the time is homelessness. On the Kona side, the county has built a friendly place as sort of a day location for people who are homeless to go and use computers and get help. There's an emergency shelter with 31 beds that's right behind that. The county built Hale Kikaha, which are former containers, which are now little dwelling units, which people pay to live in. So we do have on the west side some attempt at beginning to address homelessness, but clearly we are not there. And since the county closed the Camp Kikaha, which is where a lot of the homeless folks who had been in Old Airport went, the problem has continued to increase, despite the fact that some state officials really tout how our homelessness has reduced. People here are just not seeing it. So where do we go from here in the homeless situation? What are some solutions you will be proposing? I'll start with you, Rebecca Villegas.
All right. One of the things I'd like to point out first is houselessness versus homelessness. And I think there's some significance in that terminology and in those words. It's one thing to not have a house, and it's another thing to not be able to really sustain or have the capacity to sustain a home. I have experience in what we called at the time the homeless highway, working at the Kona Brewing Company. We are very close neighbors of the neighborhood place of Kona. I do have a soft spot in my heart for people that find themselves without a home or without a house. Mental health issues often are a contributor to that. I feel that it's important for Village 9 to be built, and I agree with it being built out by the Civic Center, because I think it's important for us to, it's very difficult for the police to be able to navigate within our houseless community, vagrants versus mentally ill versus those just without a house. So the opportunity to transition the population of people that really are interested in getting help, who are going to participate in programs, who are going to be open for the solutions and the resources that could be presented to them. I think it's wise for us to transition those facilities a little bit further out of the urban area in Kona, because within an urban area, you have access to bars and liquor stores and, you know, some of crime. There's just access and more of an opportunity for some people to get themselves into more trouble. And I think that if we're able to in some way filter the population in some capacity, that it might help with the police officers being able to then identify houseless versus vagrant. And those that want to participate and want the wraparound service that will be available out at Village 9, you remove a lot of the temptation for getting into more trouble when you're in a thicker urban area.
Kelly Drysdale, what do you want to do that may be different from what Rebecca has discussed? Because Village 9 is something that has been discussed at Hawaii County Council level, even though it's not built yet. So what else do you see as possible solutions?
Village 9 definitely is an answer. Unfortunately, it's not an immediate answer. They haven't gone through the EA, which is the environmental assessment. They haven't gone through the PER, which is the preliminary engineering report. So we're a ways off from actually getting to a quote-unquote Village 9. In the meantime, there are some places in town with some mild modifications that could serve as in temporary housing units until Village 9 is completed. But again, I've been working with a consortium of people who are extremely altruistic and philanthropic, and they want to provide, at no cost to the community, homeless shelters and health care facilities. So we're at a point right now where some financial situations are being introduced, and executive summaries are being submitted, and those types of things. So we're definitely on the road to getting some of these issues solved.
So you're saying that there are private individuals who are willing to fund homeless housing?
Yes, ma'am.
And who are these folks?
I'm not at liberty to speak at this point because we're still going through the process.
And who's we?
The people with whom I'm working, it's again, I'm not meaning to be vague or ambiguous, but I'm not at liberty to disclose those names at this point.
Okay, so it's just you with those people?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, interesting. So where are they getting all the money?
Again, through altruistic and philanthropic people with very deep pockets.
And where would these facilities be located?
They're looking at property right now to purchase, and, well, in town.
Interesting. Homeless shelter in Kailua Village is kind of what you're saying?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm not in Kailua Village town, no. But within the realm of the District 7 area.
Okay. You know, it's interesting. When we had the lava flow, one of the things that was noted was that the Pahoa shelter, which really was intended for lava flow evacuees, got a whole lot of people who are chronically homeless. And one thing that showed me is that although some folks say, oh, the homeless people don't really want shelter, a lot of people, at least 100 who were chronically homeless, actually appreciated having a shelter. So the county probably will find there's people who are very interested in being sheltered once there's an option or two. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to interrupt for a minute to remind everybody, you're listening to Island Issues, and we're here every Sunday morning on the radio on the Big Island of Hawaii, 6:30 a.m. Koa Country, 107.7 FM, 8 a.m. Lava 105.3 FM. And we post these interviews as podcasts to lava1053.com and to koacountry1077.com. That said, I'm having a little difficulty with getting it posted for today's interview, but this will be up as a podcast within the next couple of days. In the upcoming election, there are some candidates that still are on the ballot that you need to vote for. But in addition, we have some issues, two county charter amendments, and also a question about whether we want to hold a constitutional convention or not. The podcast site has my interview from last week with Peter Adler about a constitutional convention. And then there's a really important constitutional amendment that's being proposed by the state legislature, and that is, do we want to give the state legislature the authority to tax investment real property for the purpose of funding public education? It's a somewhat vague proposed constitutional amendment, and it will behoove all of us to learn more. There is a forum in West Hawaii this coming Wednesday at West Hawaii Civic Center Council Chambers, 6 p.m. to 8, to discuss this proposed constitutional amendment. There was one last Thursday in Hilo, and you may find that entire forum, 90 minutes online, at bigislandvideonews.com. The main thing is we need to learn about these. For anything on the ballot that's an issue, you can vote yes, you can vote no. If you don't vote on it at all, that will be counted as a no. So whatever way you want to vote, make sure you actually do vote on it. Next Sunday morning, I think we're going to talk a little bit about Ironman Triathlon because that comes up October 13th. So we already have a lot of visitors on the island, which is really a good thing given all the slowdown during the lava. But it's also sort of a warning for you. Get to the store and buy your bottled water and yogurt if you're going to need it. Let's get back to our discussion with County Council 7 Central Kona candidates Rebecca Villegas and Kelly Drysdale. Kelly, in addition to homelessness, what else do you see as a high priority for you if elected to County Council?
First thing I'd like to say is I'd like to be more proactive than reactive. And right now, we are in a reactive situation. We have no housing for people that can afford to live. I mean, people can't afford to live in Kailua Kona because, A, there are very limited pieces of housing available. So they're commuting from either Ocean View or Hilo or other places. So I'd like to get affordable housing implemented. I'd like to, again, one of the greatest plights we're facing right now is the shortage of doctors. So, I'd like to see a physician assistant program school implemented or built, and the of course, the homeless shelters. And with the homeless shelters, we'll be able to treat the behavioral health and addiction problems that are going on, and people that really just need a helping hand in getting back on their feet. And there's programs that have been introduced in various other cities, like in Albuquerque, New Mexico, which is called a Better Way. And that was introduced in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by their mayor, Richard Berry, which is where they take the homeless and people that may not be in a shelter, but they actually pick them up and they take them to a paid job for the day. So I'd like to see something like that. And I'd also like to see a regional park built. I mean, I've been working on that factor for almost a decade now. with a regional park built, I think that we could bring in some additional monies into the community for, with cars and accommodation rentals, restaurants, pubs, gas stations, groceries, and other types of stores. And it would be a boon and a blessing for and a godsend for everyone, really, because we could have concerts and other miscellaneous events there.
Rebecca, what else do you see as high priorities other than homelessness?
Other than the houseless, which is very much tied to affordable housing, as Kelly said, I have a passion for water. We are facing an issue here on the Big Island with the need to transition from cesspools to septic tanks. However, the science and the data is coming out, and as many of us already know here, we have a unique geology on the Big Island, which makes us much more challenging to transition to septic tanks because you have to have enough land to have a leach field. And they're also proving that even if you do put in a septic system, it still leaches contaminants potentially into our groundwater and into our oceans. We're under directive from the EPA to transition. However, we're discovering that transitioning to septic tanks may not be the best solution. It's also very costly, and a number of homeowners are very concerned about that. I would like to work with Karen Ioffe to introduce legislation to make it easier for people to potentially install gray water systems. We have some opportunity to conserve water. There's some low-hanging fruit through incentivizing community members to install low-flow shower heads, low-flow faucets, low-flow toilets by reducing the amount of water that we're using and then redirecting our gray water. We can be reducing the strain that we put on our water wells, and we all know what an issue that can be. We would also be reducing the amount of water going into what are the cesspools now, thus reducing the amount that leaches into the oceans. I'm also interested in continuing to work with the other counties on getting our fair share of the TAT taxes for our island. And we all know that the county could use a little more money for the budget.
Yeah, well, I hate to dash your enthusiasm about that, but I just have to think that if Mayor Billy Kanoy and every single mayor and Mayor Harry Kim and every single mayor and every single county council and the working group that was appointed by the legislature and said the counties need more TAT, if none of those things moved the state legislature to restore the TAT, I hope that's not your top priority because I'd hate to see you disappointed.
It's not my top priority, but I would hate for that to stop.
Oh, no, I agree. We have to keep on fighting. Now, and I'm going to go to you, Rebecca, first for this. Hawaii is considered a difficult place to do business for many, many reasons, and some of them are at state level. But at the county level, I've had builders and developers say that for a few years, the county building and permit process seemed to be getting better. But in the last couple of years, that process has become really stagnant. And I'm hearing that from both East Hawaii and West Hawaii. What thoughts do you have about what might be done to fix that problem?
For starters, I don't know if that's the direct responsibility as a county council person. However, I would like to see our county government in general be able to move more effectively and efficiently. We, unfortunately, are a few decades behind in some of our planning codes, and we're not as up to snuff as we could be on the technologies that are available in all of our different departments. So I'd like to see Hawaii upgraded and updated in some of those capacities. In our county, we have an opportunity to be a model for the rest of the world because we are a small community and we are in an isolated landmass that we have an opportunity to try and utilize some new technologies and some more forward-thinking ideas, and that would allow us to create a paradigm for some solutions that are relevant here in our county and globally.
Kelly, what do you think about that? The building permit, the inspection process?
Well, I think there's a lot of things in our government that can be improved. I'm not exactly certain as to how to do that. I know that specifically with the Department of Motor Vehicles, they're talking about implementing kiosks for registration in various areas versus having to actually sit at the place and wait your turn and all that stuff. So, again, as Rebecca has stated, to maybe implement new technologies and new thoughts and ideas to become more efficient and effective, those are things that we should really be taking a look at to make sure that our government in its entirety is working more efficiently and effectively.
You know, both of you sort of touched on this, but I was absolutely surprised to find out that the building codes that Hawaii County uses are extremely out of date. They're not current with what the federal government requires for building codes. And this certainly came up in the discussions about the requirement that Hawaii County get rid of all its cesspools, because at that point I found out from the State Department of Health that Hawaii County is still permitting cesspools to go in, that they have not been sunsetting building permits. If you got a building permit 20 years ago or 50 years ago, they are allowing people to build those permits under the rules in effect at that time. So although, as Rebecca, you point out, that's not the direct responsibility of the county council can certainly hold the directors of departments responsible. Anyway, on to your particular quests for the new job of being the county council District 7 rep. Somebody sent in a question asking about Peach Parks and county parks that are within this area, and understanding that County Park and Rec for the last 3 months has been consumed with the lava flow. Now that the lava flow's over, what would be your position on advocating for improvement in our parks? Pohoihoi, Magic Sands, or La'aloa, Kahului. People are saying the bathrooms are not up to code, they're unsanitary, rock walls are crumbling, benches are broken, sometimes the showers and water fountains are closed. Kelly Dryas, tell you your thoughts on that.
Well, it's interesting you should say that. You know, we're lacking the facility updates that we need, because I was looking at some of the audits that are going through the Legislative Auditor's Office this year, and one of them happens to be Parks and Rec. So I'm wondering how the monies that they say possibly have all been extinguished through the lava flow will actually be reallocated to the areas that need it. And a really interesting piece of information I acquired was that if you paint a tin roof every 12 years, you will never have to replace it. And I think that, again, to be proactive versus reactive, right now we're in the reactive stage because our facilities are dilapidated. We're not keeping up with them. I'm not sure who does the scheduling for all those areas at the beach parks, but that needs to be remedied. It needs to be brought more frequently and have people out there. And you know what? Again, going back to possibly integrating homeless paid positions. I mean, I know that the unions have their positions within the county, but if they can't keep up, then perhaps that's an area where we could utilize some of the people that need to make an extra dollar here or there, and to keep those people working, give them a few bucks, and get our facilities back up to speed.
I've seen several cities where they have done exactly what you suggested quite effectively. They use people who have no other support, they're homeless, and they engage them in sort of minimum wage jobs to do exactly what you're talking about, and it hasn't affected in those cities the union issues. So you're right, perhaps that can be worked on. Rebecca Villegas, your thoughts about our beach parks and our county parks in Central Kona District 7, which would be your responsibility?
Having had some experience in working with Kohana Aiki and the creation of a county park there, the paradigm and the model that was created at Kohana Aiki was a consortium of representatives from the county, from the landowner or developer, and from the community. And I got to be the voice of the community sitting at the table at many of these meetings. Kahalu is right in Ahupua'a and just Makai from where I live up the hill. And there are some issues. I'll just take Kahalu into consideration. But there's also an opportunity there. And I think that we have the potential to utilize the model that was created at Kohana Aiki and incorporate the Kohala Center and Cindy Punahaola, who has been a wonderful caretaker of that area and the reef ecosystems and education. And she's collaborated with schools and other not-for-profit organizations. And then there are for-profit organizations there, the surf schools. And then incorporating our host culture and those of lineal descent from that area, and bringing those people to the table is, I believe, where the solutions will reside. And I think that that model could be utilized at Pohoihoi Beach Park, at Waiaha. You know, Friends of Waiaha have been doing that. So to take the opportunity to connect government and the county to the citizens who love and who cherish and who are already invested in those beach parks, and then potentially also utilize potentially labor of those who are finding themselves houseless, but to once again collaborate and to communicate. And it's relationship-based, getting to know the people that are currently taking care of those areas, that currently enjoy those areas. And when everybody's got a little bit of skin in the game and invested, solutions present themselves and the resources are there, but then we more wisely utilize them, and we're accountable to one another for how we take care of our coastline and the future, the safety, and for our keiki.
Rebecca Villegas, what do you do when you're not engaged in community activities and work and things like that? What do you do for fun?
I have a really big, beautiful yellow lab named Moses. And I really enjoy my time with him. I enjoy taking walks. I used to surf all the time. I don't surf quite as much. I really enjoy crafting and sewing and making vision boards and doing art and being with friends and family. I just moved my daughter off to college, so I'm in a transitional period with an empty nest. However, I am going to be a grandmother in January, so lots of life transitions and changes, and really making my best attempt to stay grounded so that I can walk through all of these new chapters and new pages with continued integrity and service to my community.
As your final comments, tell us why we should vote for you, please.
I'm a lifelong resident here on the Big Island, being born and raised here. My mother is also a graduate of Kona Waena High School. I'm fifth generation. My roots run deep here. My passion is for my community. It's always been a part of who I am and what I do in whatever career or capacity I've worked in. I have a legacy of leadership and a legacy of aloha, and I would like to continue to do that. I've done it working in the private sector, and I would be honored. And I feel that I'm ready for the challenge and the responsibility of holding public office. And so I would ask my community, if you want to get to know me, I'm here. I've got a good shoulder. I've got good ears. I love to communicate and connect and respond. And so just consider voting Villegas.
Kelly Drysdale, what do you do for fun when you're not working or doing some of your other challenges?
Well, that's a good question, because with a 40-hour a week job and then running my own campaign here and then coordinating the 30th anniversary of Christmas with the chefs, it leaves very little time. But I do play tennis, and I hang out with my tennis friends, and we do a lot of fun things.
And as your final comments, help us understand why you deserve the vote of the people who are voting for County Council District 7.
Well, a phrase that I incorporated into my campaign is people's voice, people's choice. And I'd like to think that the people that I've spoken with over the decades, we've talked about the various issues that are facing our community, and we've talked through how we could rectify those adversities. But there's some things that I'd like to see done. I'd like to see new businesses introduced where they can, say something like make tires into roadways, or even revisit or resurrect ideas that were tabled at one time, which is trash to energy, or, you know, educating more people on landfill, or implementing programs like There's a Better Way, which, again, to reiterate, takes people that are homeless or houseless, as Rebecca says, and gives them day jobs. I think I'm someone who has a lot of common sense. When I saw that Queen K opened, it's two lanes going northbound versus two lanes going southbound first, I asked why. So, I mean, common sense to me is a very integral part of why we have to look at things. And we have to look at issues from both sides. There's always, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And if you just take something and you implement it, and you don't look at what the repercussions or what the other side might have, you may be introducing something that could be a very negative factor. Having said that, I think that, you know, I'm always been a leader. I will continue regardless of how this turns out. I will continue leading in various ways. And I just think that if people would like to have their voice heard, that perhaps they should choose Kelly Drysdale.
Thank you so much, Kelly Drysdale, for being with us this morning. Aloha.
Aloha. Thank you, Sherry.
Rebecca Shute Villegas, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thanks, Sherry. Appreciate you.
And to our listeners, you're the reason we're here, and I thank you so much for listening. I'm Sherry Bracken. This is Island Issues. I'll see you again next Sunday morning for another Island Issues. And until then, please, let's all live and drive with aloha and show particular aloha to our iron visitors. Ahui ho.
Thank you for listening to Island Issues, brought to you by Regency at Hualalai, a retirement and assisted living community. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Join us again next week for another Island Issues, a service of Hawaii Islands Mahalo Multimedia.